And are you guys ready for Revelation, part four? All right, Smyrna and Philadelphia. If you're just joining us for the first time online, welcome as well. We have a little community over in Pennsylvania and Fort Myers, and that's all I can think of today. Colorado, somewhere out there, but good to see you guys in online. South Carolina, that's it. Gail, South Carolina, make sure you say hi to Gail. We're going through the book of Revelation. This is going to take us all the way into... as long as we need to, probably October, November, ushering us right into Christmas. It is the last book of the Bible. I also want to give credit to my friend, my best man at my wedding, Scott Kenworthy, who's a pastor at Owensboro Christian Church in Kentucky. So he assisted me on a lot of this studies and working it together. So really appreciate him for that. So I want you to know a lot of my information comes from with him and talking with him and providing a lot of resources. So before we go right into Revelation, just a quick reminder. Next slide. The Revelation is not Revelations, right? It's one Revelation. It's one book. It's one continuous story from the beginning to the end. A lot of us would have misinterpreted and say, oh, Revelations of Jesus. No, it's the Revelation of Jesus. It's one story. Within that story, there are four different visions. The first vision are the churches, which is what we're covering right now. Chapter 1, all the way to chapter 4. So at chapter 4, a new vision begins. And every vision begins with, I was led by the Spirit. So from chapter 4, we begin to explore the throne, what's happening you see in heaven. Literally, there's this picture of heaven. So that begins in chapter 4, and you see Jesus, you see the 24 elders, you see the pillars, you see the street of gold, all kinds of stuff. That takes place from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 17. And then a new vision begins. Chapter 17 begins with the harlot. That's where you see Satan is fighting this woman and the tail of the dragon sweeping across the sky. That begins in chapter 17. And the Bible ends with chapter 21, which is the bride of Christ, the bride, the church, which is us. So that's how the whole book of Revelation is laid out. But also, a couple things you need to know. Next slide, please. Revelation goes a little something like this. It begins with, the first 65 books of the Bible, it goes with perfection, which is creation, the fall, and then the nation of Israel are constantly on a run or on an exile stage because of their sin. So perfection, fall, exile, and then Jesus came and redeemed them back, right? So that's the first 65 books of the Bible. And then Revelation begins with Jesus back. The Revelation begins with Jesus, and he brought us back and back to union with Christ in a new heaven. So the first line is how the first 65 books of the Bible. The second line is the book of Revelation. Jesus brought us back, union, and new heaven. So Revelation's kind of work backwards from the rest of the book. So today we're covering the second part of the churches. The church was, the letters were delivered in a very strategic route. So you see Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, so go on Thyatira. So you see the route of the church is it's a trading route. So it goes in one big circle. John is in Patmos, so it makes perfect sense that the mail carrier would deliver the letter in one big circle. It ends right back where John was in jail. But also there's this theological significance as well, the way the church, the way that the letter was written and is broken down this way. So if you notice the way that it's written, next slide. So the first two churches, Jesus, right? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So the first two churches, Ephesus and the last church, Laodicea, has the same problem. And God promised them one promise, which we read last week. The next two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, has the same problem, no problem at all. They don't have any rebuke. That's what we're covering today. So today's sermon is going to be really encouraging. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there's two promises from God. And then you have Pergamum and Sardis, which is the two really getting a little worse. False teaching and the deed were dead, right? There's no work in that church. They were just there existing. And then there are two promises from God. And Thyatira, there is spiritual adultery, and there's three promises from God. So if you look at the way the book of the seven churches was written out, it's kind of like a chasm or a mirror image, a reflection. So the first two are the same, the second two are the same, or the first and the last the same, the second and the and to last is the same. And right in the middle, it illustrates what sin looks like. It illustrates the idea that anything away from God, it's spiritual, adulterous, which is the problem for the nation of Israel and the problem for all of us throughout all of our entire lives. Every sin in our lives, God considered that as a spiritual adulteress towards Him. So that's how the letter was written out and laid out. Today we're going to cover Smyrna and Philadelphia. There's no problem in that church at all, which I loved. I told our staff today, this week's sermon is going to be a lot of fun because there's no rebuke from God. They're doing really, really well. And usually we stand to read the scripture. Today I'm going to have you seated because the blessing, it's at the end. So we'll stand at the end to receive the blessing from God. So if you have your Bible, that's the introduction. Revelation chapter 2. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. To the church in Smyrna. The words will be on the screen. You can follow along with me as well. To the church, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit say to the churches. The one who is victorious would not be hurt at all by the second death. Flip over one page. That's my Bible. Yours might be different. We're going to read to the church in Philadelphia. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crowns. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Leave it. I write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear that the Spirit says to the churches, the word of the Lord. Amen. A huge misconception about Revelation is that at the end times, going to come and we're going to go through this. We have this huge misconception that the end time is a single most important event. Well, it's not. Jesus coming back is the most single important event. Jesus is going to come back. And the days and time, we don't know. So we know the end time, in general, it's not a single most important event. Jesus coming back is the most single important event. The same way when Jesus came and died on the cross, that's the most single important event in human history, when he rose from the dead. So the tribulations for the churches actually begins when Jesus ascended to heaven. The moment Jesus left earth, the church was under persecution. You can read it through the entire book of Acts. Stephen was the first Christian martyrdom. The church has always been under the scrutiny of government and society. So for us as Christians, we think end time is like this one single happening event. When is it going to happen? You know, but actually, tribulations it's a continual deterioration of the world away from God. And it will get worse and worse and worse. And every day, you, I, The people who watched Jesus went up to heaven are living in the end times. Church persecution is nothing new. It happened right away. Jesus coming back is a single important event. Keep that in mind. But end times is a continual deterioration, the world away from God. And you and I are living in it. In every single day, you and I are living in it. Because Satan is at work at full force. Look at this. This is 2,000 years ago. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogues of Satan. This was written 2,000 years ago. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, to the church of Philadelphia. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. Satan is at work then, and Satan is at work now, and Satan is at work right now. Maybe even among us. And sadly, sometimes Satan's work are the people among us. Notice that he says to those who think they are Jew, but they're not. I'll explain that to you in a second. So this is what happens. There were Jewish Christians. When Jesus resurrected, there were Jewish people who literally believe in the Messiah, saw that he came, believe in the scripture. They dug up the book of Isaiah and they dug up the Torah and they said, this is the Messiah. We believe in this. And some people had a problem with it. Well, who had a problem with it? Jewish people. Jewish Christian, Jewish people, you're not right. And because we think you're not right, they were shunned from participating all of their Jewish traditions and festivals. They weren't allowed to go to Jewish temples to worship anymore. They were prohibited from doing business with the Jewish community. Well, you're a Christian now? Well, you can't really do business with us because we're Jews. We're the chosen people. You're a Jewish Christian. We can't do business with you. So they were shunned away from all the businesses. They would start to lose their job. They weren't even allowed to go to the marketplace to buy food to bring it home to their family. So you know, some of us have this misconception that when Revelation happened, we're not allowed to buy food from the marketplace. Well, it was already happening. So tribulation is what you and I are living in right now. And during that time, the people who became Christians were always in a hostile environment. You're not allowed to do business. You're not allowed to go to worship. You're not allowed to participate. You are shunned out. You go home by yourself, shut your door, and stay there. Smyrna is this little port, and it has a lot of temple worship. They have these gods, right? I'll read a couple for you. Cybele, the mother goddess. Zeus, the Greek god. Apollo, the god of music and dance. Asclepius, Apollo's son, god of medicine. I don't know why there's a god of medicine. The street of Smyrna was paved of gold. Put that in your pocket because you're going to read later. Jesus says you will be walking on the street of gold, right? To keep that in your pocket as well. There's one temple. It's called for the Emperor Tiberius. People had to go there every year. Everybody in the city of Smyrna had to go to this temple and claim that Caesar is king, that he is God, and burn incense and worship him. Remember what I told you? If you don't know the Old Testament, you have no business of reading Revelation. There's a pastor, Eugene Peterson, he says, if you haven't read the first 65 books of the Bible, you have no business picking up Revelation to read it, because if you don't understand the Old Testament pictures, you're not going to get Revelation. This is an Old Testament picture, because in the Old Testament, when the people left the Egypt, God commanded them in Deuteronomy that three times a year, all your men, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of the weeks, and the festival of the tabernacle. So here's the big idea. God commanded the nation of Israel that three times a year, you will go to this place where God commanded you for three different festivals, and you present yourself in front of him. During the time in Smyrna, the book of Revelation, Caesar has commanded everybody in that town, instead of going and worship your God, you need to present yourself in front of Caesar. So what do you think what the Jewish people were doing? They abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and added on Caesar as a way of worship. You see how Satan has convinced the entire world to turn against God. Instead of going see God 3 times a year, you just need to go see Caesar and worship him once a year. So these Jewish Christians were beginning to be shunned out of their home, of their businesses, of the city, doing even going to the temple to worship their God. Philadelphia was known for its cult, and not the city of Philadelphia that we're in now. But any Eagles fan? I know. I see you back there, Frank.
Cowboys.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you're from Philly, right? Philadelphia was at one point the city of Philadelphia was known as Little Athens, the birthplace of ideas. But also, Athens was known for parties and orgies, the place of sex. So the pressure and temptation for the church is. What do we do? If I have a business to run, to feed my family, what do I do? Do I participate in these orgies and parties? Do I go and worship Caesar? If my family's hungry and I have to go to the marketplace to buy food, but I can't go because the food is being sold at a place where, because I'm a Christian, I'm not allowed to go there. What do I do? Should I comply to keep my business? Stand firm? And risk financial ruin? And even loss your social circles? Can you imagine not having any friends as you go through life? Can you imagine? Just imagine this for a second. Not having any friends as you go through life. This is what this church was going through. The worst part is the people who were shunned them out were their friends who claims to be Jewish. And God says they claim to be Jewish, but they're not. They're liars. And sometimes in life, the people that tries to convince you what's right and what's wrong are the people who actually picks this up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. Well, I don't believe in that part of the Bible. I only believe in this part of the Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Well, I don't believe in that part of Jesus Christ. I only believe in this part of Jesus Christ. This is what people were dealing with. Their friends are telling them, we used to be friends, but because you became that, we're not friends anymore. Unless you become one of us. Every day, these people had to make a decision to join the crowd or follow Jesus. You want to do business with us? Denounce Jesus. You want to buy that for your family? You have young kids at home? You have a baby? Your wife just gave birth? Oh, you want that for your baby? Denounce Jesus. Oh, you want to buy a part of this place to improve your business or to grow your business or to make a better living? Denounce Jesus. Some were even barred. Yes, you're right. As I work through this book of Revelation, I feel the same way. Trust me. All right, you are right. At one point, Jewish Christians were barred from even traveling to Jerusalem to worship God. Because, you know, like every Jew had to go to Jerusalem to worship God. And they were shunned from that. Sounds like the same old trick Satan used, doesn't it? There's this chapter in Matthew chapter 4. There's this event. Jesus, before he went into the ministry, he was led by the Spirit. Chapter 4, it's on the screen. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And Matthew went and told it this way. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are a son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then Satan tempted him again to a city and said, just look out, Jesus. Look at all this I can give you. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be the richest man in society? Don't you want to have everything that's in front of you? And Jesus says, no, I don't want that. And then he goes and he says, aren't you hungry? Here's something to eat. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. It seems like the same old temptation that Satan uses on everybody. You notice that Satan didn't lead Jesus into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And when Satan saw Jesus at his weakest moment, when he was fully human at his weakest moment, he says, look, you can have this. You can eat this. You can own this. Wouldn't you want that? And this is kind of like what we deal in on a daily basis in your weakest moment. In a moment where you're comparing yourself to your neighbor, where you're in a moment where you're comparing your job situation, in a moment where you're comparing your life situation, your marital situation, your relationship situation, and Satan will creep in and he says, don't you want that instead? And he convinces you to leave what's really good for you to go something might be a little bit better, but not the best for you. And some of us would look at that as like, that's my cross to bear, right? Like we suffer for Jesus. I'm not talking about, you know, choosing not to cuss, you know, on a daily basis. You stop your toe and sometimes you say a cuss word, but now you're a Christian, you don't say a cuss word anymore. You say, that's my cross to bear, right? Some of you guys might think denouncing or following Jesus is choosing what to watch on TV. You know, this movie is this, and I guess I really want to watch it, but I shouldn't watch it because it has some stuff in there that I don't really like. That's my cross to bear. Some of us think suffering for Jesus is that way. Or even getting your drinks wrong at Starbucks, right? You want to make a big deal out of it, but I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Like, that's your cross to bear. At some point in your life, and take this the best way, and I mean well at this, there will come a time in your life you will have to choose to keep the faith or be in with society. And that's what Jesus is revealing to the church in Smyrna and Philadelphia. You're weak. You're poor. That's the perception of the world. But you are rich in Christ. Your cross to bear is not the wrong drink at Starbucks or not having the best meal or even the best job. But your cross to bear at some point in your life, you will have to choose to keep the faith or be in with society. I coach girls basketball. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but
you never heard about it.
No. I coach girls basketball. As a hobby. But it's also a ministry. I get to talk to a lot of parents about, you know, Jesus, and they see me wear my shirt, Jesus is King, and all that. So they see me at practice. I don't cuss, and, you know, I try not to get angry at the kids, but you know, coaching is a passion, so sometimes you have to really keep yourself in check. So I coach girls basketball, and someone asked me, they said, what if they mandate that you have a trans athlete playing on your team? I'm a high school coach. I also have a travel organization that has 30 girls plays for me. What if the mandate comes out that you have to have a trans athlete playing on your team? I didn't even think about it. My answer was simple and quick. I just won't be the coach. That was my answer. I just won't be the coach. My response is not hate, but my response is my faith in my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And that's the answer. All of us are going through this right now. Like, society is changing. It's changing quickly away from God. What are we going to do with this? Well, your answer, it's not an argument on what you think. Your answer is your answer through the scripture. I won't be the coach. And not because I have hate. It's because I have love for my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen? And I love these comforting words from Jesus. This is like the motivation. I look at this book. I told you it's kind of like there's no correction for these two churches. They're doing really well. And I look at this as like this locker room motivation before they go out into a game. This is the coach in me reading this. And this is Jesus' speech to the church. He said, I know your afflictions and your poverty. You get to experience like me coaching right now, right? This is what I sound like when I coach, right? In the locker room before we get to a game or halftime when we're down. I know your affliction, your poverty. You are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to go through, what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put you to the test and put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as victor's crown. So I feel like this is like the halftime speech from Jesus to us and to the churches. Stay strong. And to the church in Philadelphia, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you can't go to the temples and worship right now. I know they're keeping you out. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are at the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, they are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. This is like this halftime speech. We go into the locker room. I remember my team, state championship, 30 seconds to go. We were down one. We have one play left. We call the timeout. The reporter was sitting right next to me, having a microphone on my bench. I told my kids, I said, this is the time to fight. This is all you got. You might never be back here again. This is the state championship. You got 30 seconds. Who's going to do it? You're graduating this year. You might never be back here again. The time is now to stand firm. I know you're tired. I know you're tired. You're exhausted. This is the overtime. By the way, it was in overtime. Your tank is empty. But dig deep. And sometimes in our lives, in our Christian walk, this is the halftime speech from God. I know sometimes it seems tiring. I know sometimes it seems like the world is telling you, you're not good enough. Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Look at everyone else. They're making fun of you. You really going to believe in that? Or you're going to believe in this? You really want to do business in this? Or you're going to stay that way? Don't you see your businesses grow if you only forget that and move over here? And if this speech from Jesus, it says, stay strong. I know what you're going through. And he says, what you're going through, it's only temporary. 10 days. When we look at the numbers in Revelation, don't think of the worth of the number, but think of the weight. Or not the weight, but the worth of the number. Like how the worth of it is, the number, it's temporary. It's an Old Testament term as well. Because Daniel was being carried off to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar says, we need to train every young man from of a Hebrew people to be Babylonians. So Daniel stood firm and he says, I don't want to eat that food. Just give us something else. And this is what Daniel said. Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young man who eats the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Daniel says, thanks, but no thanks. Because we know who would believe. Thanks,
but no thanks. We'll be fine. Thanks, but no thanks. Because I'd rather be rich in Christ, because everything else in this world, it's temporary. Amen? Jesus says to him, I know what you're going through. It's only temporary. I know you're being made fun of. It's only temporary. I know you might look different from the rest of the world. But it's also temporary. You seem poor according to society. But man, you are rich in faith. You might be shunned from the marketplace, but a door of heaven will be open to you and will never be shut again. And you know, those people that makes fun of you and ridicule you and make a mockery of you, they will bow down at your feet and acknowledge that I loved you. Because I'd rather be rich in Christ. Because everything else, it's only temporary. I like to boat, right? Boating, we call it the boat life, right? The Florida life. Someone commented on my Facebook, teach us how to Florida. I love to Florida. Speaking of Florida, because I live right around the corner from here, so we're close to the beach, and I know a lot of people. Like, I really do. Like, I know all of you, right? And in my basketball crew, so I know a lot of people. So people drops off, like, the most random things on my house, right? Sometimes boats and surfboards. By the way, we got a really nice surfboard this week, so anyone ever want to use a surfboard? It's foam. They just dropped it off last night. It's for you to use as well. So anytime you want kayaks, paddleboards, surfboards, whatever you want, just swing by my house, pick it up, and go to the beach. We live right next to the Intracoastal. But we love to boat, so my sons and I took it out this past week. We haven't taken it out in a while. So we took it out, we went to the little island, we're jumping up and down and snorkel, had a great time, as usual, with my children. When we're getting ready to go, the boat wouldn't start. So I'm freaking out, all right? I'm like, because I'm not a mechanic. Would you stop answering during my sermon? I didn't ask you, okay? So if you're visiting with us for the first time, you know, welcome. We are just one big family, right? We are just one big family. So we were boating, and the engine would start kick. So immediately I'm thinking, what am I going to do, right? What am I going to do? How do I get this back to the dock to get onto my car so we can trailer to take it home? I tried it again. Wouldn't work. So I remember I had a tool. You always bring a bag of tools with you on the boat. So I took out a tool, right? I don't even know what that is. I'm not very handy. A tool. Took out a tool. And you do what everyone would do when your engine doesn't work. What do? You bang on it. You bang on it, hoping it will hit something, right? So I just bang on the engine. Pop, 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 pop. Nothing's happened, right? So I was thinking calling Gary Sorber, because he's a mechanic, to come out, but then how would he get out here? We're in the middle of an island. So now, at this point, I'm nervous, right? But you never show sign of nervousness to your children. So I told him, you guys go snorkel, have fun. You know, we'll get this going and we'll go home. Banged on it again, nothing happened. And I'll keep you on your seats, right? What happened? What happened? I'm about to tell you. So I looked over to the battery. There was a little loose screws that wasn't attaching the cable to the battery strong enough to give it power to start. That was it. And sometimes in church, like us, yeah, we might not look all polished and all together. And our communion might not be rehearsed like this morning. It was perfect. I was like, that's a great illustration for my sermon. And sometimes we might have a couple of loose screws. Like this guy sitting over here, comment on everything I say in my sermon. Mike McGovern. We might have a couple of loose screws in here somewhere. And sometimes they just need to be banged a little bit and tighten it up and we'll get going. However, we're going and we're going through this together. Here's the best part. On my way back to the dock, right? So I'm really weak at backing the trailer down to the boat dock. So I'm still learning. So I'm like everywhere, right? Correcting it, you know, straighten it out and pull it back down, correcting it and straighten it back out. I'm not very good at it. So luckily there was a guy who was at the dock at the same time. So he was waving me down, right? He said, okay, I'll back you down. So we're backing down and I keep backing down crooked. And so at one point, he goes, keep coming, keep coming. And I saw him in my rear view mirror. He said, stop. He walked over, picked up my trailer. This is to show you how small my boat is. He picked up my trailer. He straightened it out. And he said, you're good. Keep coming. That's how crooked I was. So you're good. Keep coming. But I'm practicing. By the way, anyone want to go boating with me this week? You're invited. You are invited. So the church is like, there's a ton of loose screws in this church. But he's saying, I know it looks like you're weak, but you're strong in Christ. Let's all bang it together and we'll get going again. And I need you, and this church need you. Your pastor, me need you, because I'm not perfect. And I know you're not perfect. And sometimes I just need you to pick me up and straighten me out a little bit and keep going. And I feel like this is like this motivational speech from God to these two churches and from me to you, like this halftime speech to my girls, and we're going to the state championship and say, you got 30 seconds left and the day is coming. It's only temporary. Keep going. Be rich in Christ, because everything else is just temporary. I love this old saying, it too shall pass. We're on this together. And we're not perfect. But man, we're perfectly in Christ. Amen? So as you stand, as the band come forward, I'm going to read the promises of God to you. This is God's promise. And remember, we talk about, we're going to do it at the end. To the church in Smyrna. And her poem was perfectly illustrating the work of Satan in your life. That he got a foothold of you saying, you're not good enough. You need something better. You need to go over here because it's better. You need to do that because it's better. You need to have this. And he keeps digging us into sin. And he tempted us the same way he tempted Jesus. Look what you can have. Why would you do this if you can have that? All you have to do is denounce Jesus. To the church, the believers in Smyrna, be faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give you life as your victor's crown. So basically, when he comes, you will not die, but you live. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. So those who remain faithful, when he comes back, you will not get hurt. Take comfort in that. To the believers in Philadelphia, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave you. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. So basically, God will write his name on you. You are marked. You are chosen by him that when the end time comes, you're not going to be a Rhema or Joe. You're going to be Christian and the child of God. That's the new name he's going to have on you. Is it the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven? You might be shunned from some of these places you are in right now, but when the time comes, you have a new city for you. You can walk in and out anytime you want. It'd be the New Jerusalem, a new heaven. And I will also write on them my new name. So this new city will be the city of God. It won't belong to Satan like this world is right now, but it belongs to God. God's name is on it. And he says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation is going to happen. The day and time of Jesus' return, we do not know. The church has faced and will face persecution. And God's promise is you will not be hurt. You will be restored when he comes. And you will have a new temple. And you can freely come and go as you please. A new Jerusalem. So we can go and worship God. Amen. And that's God's promise to you, to the church. The book of Revelation is not that scary, is it? No, it's actually really comforting. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've given us. We thank you for who you are. Father, as we read through these letters, we see our brother and sisters in Christ suffer roughly 2,000 years ago. They're going through the same thing we're going through today. And Father, yes, we are growing weary. Yes, sometimes it seems like it's just too much. And when is all this going to end? But Father, until then, we know, we've heard, and your promise that it's only temporary. And you're coming. Father, help us to remain faithful in your love and in your grace. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, today could be your day. We offer an invitation by way of this song every Sunday. Our baptistry is behind here. Water is ready. I have changing clothes for you. And today could be your day. You say, I want to follow Jesus. I'm inviting you here. But also, if life has been a little bit hard on you, or you just need prayers. I know a couple kids graduated yesterday. They need prayers. Our elders will be up here to pray with you as well. But don't leave here today without making a decision for God. Or you're in the house of the Lord. You need prayer. Our elders are here to pray with you. By way of invitation to this song, I'm inviting you forward.